Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And when you find your place, if you're physically able to, I'd ask that you stand in respect to the reading of God's word. And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. I'll read if you'll follow along. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you, and as we think about the area of giving sacrificially, giving to missions in particular, Lord, we pray that you would open up our hearts, and Lord, help us to do all that we can. Help us to step out in faith, and Lord, we pray that you would help each of us individually, but then also as a church, help us to, Lord, to be as supportive of missionaries as we can. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So today we're taking just a one-week break from the book of 2 Peter. Talk about missions and regular tithe giving. Of course, you recall we held a missions conference in June with missionary Clausen and Pastor Harness. And I can speak for myself. I enjoyed the preaching, found it convicting, and it was a faith promise conference, and we passed out these faith promise commitment forms. Now, something to say about faith promise giving: it isn't for everyone, and I want to make it very clear that a person can contribute to missions and be just as godly and be just as right with the Lord, not using faith promise missions. This is just one method that some of the churches employ. It does not make a person better or worse for using it. I kind of think about it in the sense of Bible reading. You know, you might read your Bible through in 2 years and spend a little bit more time focusing on verse by verse, trying to dig as much out of that passage as you can. Someone else might say, you know what? I want to get through my Bible this year. I want to read it through in 1 year. Another person might say, I'm going to read it through in a year. I'm going to do it in chronological order. Some might say, well, I'm going to do it, book, in the order that it appears in Scripture. And the point is that those people are still reading God's Word. They're still getting fed. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter if you start in Revelation and work your way to Genesis, or you start in Genesis and work to Revelation. You're still getting fed. And so the same sort of principle when it comes to faith promise missions. There is no intent to browbeat a person to participate in this. But if it's something a person feels led to do, then it's a great way to challenge ourselves to give of the Lord, give to the Lord. I mean, whatever way we give to missions, the ultimate goal is that we are challenging ourselves to asking the Lord to increase our faith, giving more as the Lord allows. I've known people that have been doing this for years, and ordinary people, not your average billionaire, and just average people that have been doing it for years. And in one case, I'm aware of how much an individual gives, and it's about 35%. Of their income. And, when combined with tithe, that's 45%. Now, I'll just make it very clear, that's not me. That would take a lot of faith. But I'm just saying, there people have stepped out in faith and just give. And the thing about giving to the Lord is that, as that saying goes, we can't out-give God. You're not going to end up in the poorhouse giving to God. And in that one case I just mentioned, that person is in a church that's not even a registered charity. So that's not even, you might say, well, yeah, okay, that person's getting lots of tax writable receipts. No, none. So giving sacrificially is something we do as the Lord leads, with no ulterior motives, not to be seen of others, not to be the big wheel, so to speak. You know, one benefit of going this route and using faith promise is that it does help the church establish a budget to know, okay, well, this is how much should be coming in on a yearly basis. There's just some general principles about giving. One thing that has impressed me so many times as I go through Scripture, particularly the Old Testament and pastors in the New Testament, is that we're supposed to give cheerfully. To give cheerfully. Part of the reason why I'm bringing this up this evening is I would like to get us to consider a slight change in the way in which we take our offering. I've been thinking about this for some time, and the pattern that I would like to see us do is something that my home church in Shore Park does. And they've been doing it for over 30 years. And what they do, Victory Baptist, they don't take up an offering. There's no offerings taken up. And instead, there's an offering box where you just put your tithe, your offerings in the offering box. And, you give your regular tithes, and then you give your offerings as the Lord leads and directs. And I'd like to consider that we do the same thing here. And I'll explain some of the reasons why. And, you know, there's one obvious thing that you're going to be thinking of right away is, especially where we live, let's make sure if we're going to do that box is secured down and lag bolts. Yeah, so, that would have to obviously be done. We'd have to make ourselves a box and make it secure. And I've got some ideas about the box. So, as far as making it, and I kind of like a, I might even, if we go this route, I'd like to kind of make it myself, I believe. We see a precedent in the Old Testament where a barrel was placed in a chest, was placed in the temple, and the people gave willingly. It's my hope that I and the people of our church would give to the Lord both of our tithes and our offerings from a cheerful, thankful heart, and not because, okay, the usher's coming by again with the, oh man, I feel bad. He knows that I didn't give last week. He knows I didn't give, whatever, right? But it shouldn't be from peer pressure. It should be because this is what the Lord has blessed me with. I'm going to give back to the Lord. So that we give cheerfully from a thankful heart, not grudgingly, because we know we ought to. Now, again, I should also point out, thousands of churches have been taking up offerings for years. So there's nothing unbiblical or wrong about passing a plate, or in our case, I think we might call that a sock, I'm not sure. The bag, there you go. Yep. And there's nothing unbiblical about it. But I like the idea of giving sort of anonymously, giving cheerfully. Let's take a look at some passages. And, you know, it's as I've read in the book of Exodus and into Kings, where I've come across some passages that have really thrilled my heart when it comes to serving the Lord. In Exodus chapter 35, verses 4 and 5, we read here, "And Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord, gold and silver and brass." And then there's a whole list of things that were needed for the tabernacle. And blue and purple and scarlet, fine linen, goat's hairs and ram skins dyed red. So there's a lot of these different things that the Lord needed the people to gather for the tabernacle. But you notice there that it says here, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord, whosoever is of a willing heart. And that is the whole point of when we give to the Lord, we're told we're not to give grudgingly. We're supposed to give cheerfully. And because the Lord loveth a cheerful giver, the scripture says. And so, you know, we ought to be praying. And one of the things you find as you go through the book of Exodus is that the Lord actually worked on people's hearts and gave them a willing spirit. And if you or I feel ourselves, you know, holding on to that money tightly and saying, Lord, I don't want to give it, then we got to say, Lord, help me to have a willing spirit. Help me to give cheerfully to you. And in the same passage, Exodus 35, verses 21 on down, and they came, everyone whose heart stirred him up, and everyone whom his spirit made willing, and they brought the Lord's offering to the work of the tabernacle of the congregation, and for all his service, and for the holy garments. And they came, both men and women, as many as were willing-hearted, and brought bracelets, and earrings, and rings, and tablets, and all jewels of gold, and every man that had offered an offering of gold unto the Lord. And every man with whom was found blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hairs, and red skins of rams and badger skins brought them. Everyone that did offer an offering of silver and brass through brought the Lord's offering, and every man with whom was found shittim wood for any work of the service brought it. And all the women that were wise-hearted did spin with their hands and brought that which they had spun, both of blue and purple and of scarlet and fine linen. And the list goes on. And you see in verse 29, and the children of Israel brought a willing offering unto the Lord, every man and woman, whose heart made them willing to bring for all manner of work, which the Lord had commanded to be made by the hand of Moses. And then we go into some of the people that God blessed with wisdom and knowledge of how to like you see Bezalel here in verse 30 and on down, and how he was able to make all sorts of fine workmanship. Let me jump into the next passage, and I find this very interesting. Chapter 36, verses 1 through 7. Then wrought Bezalel, and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab, and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary, to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him freewill offerings every morning. And all the wise men that wrought all the works of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they had made. And they spake unto Moses. And they got a real problem here. They spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. That's a real problem, isn't it? So you see God's people being fervent, being willing-hearted to give to the ministry. Let's take a look in 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. 1 through 15. And here we see the Jehoiada the priest taking a chest and boring a hole in the lid of it and setting it beside the altar. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. But the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. That's just a sad statement there. You see so often with these kings that started out well and yet we know that Jehoash ended up turning wicked. And he started off well, but he left some of those avenues for Satan to have a foothold, a toehold in his kingdom, and in his rulership. In verse 4, and Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the dedicated things that is brought into the house of the Lord, even the money of everyone that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into any man's heart to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priest take it to them, every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priests had not repaired the breaches of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest, and the other priests, and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. And the priests consented to receive no more money of the people, neither to repair the breaches of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bored a hole in the lid of it, and set it beside the altar on the right side, as one cometh into the house of the Lord. And the priests that kept the door put therein all the money that was brought into the house of the Lord. And it was so, when they saw that there was much money in the chest, that the king's scribe and the high priest came, and they put up in bags and told the money that was found in the house of the Lord, and they gave the money, being told, into the hands of them that did the work, that had the oversight of the house of the Lord, and they laid it out to the carpenters and builders that wrought upon the house of the Lord. So if I understand this right, they were not to try to collect money from the people, but instead they put that chest there, and everyone that came in and willingly wanted to give an offering, that money was then placed in that chest. Now, some reasons to adopt this style of giving. One is that people aren't pressured into giving just strictly out of peer pressure. So-and-so next to me gave, I guess I should give. Remember, the goal is that we give cheerfully because we have a willing heart. The Lord has blessed us, and now we're giving both, first of all, our tithe, which is really rightfully the Lord's, that 10%, and then what he convicts us or encourages us to give as a free will offering. And when we think about this, when we think about visitors, there's a bad perception in this world about churches being there just to collect money. And that perception is there because there are so many that are there just to collect money. And they raise themselves edifices and become the richest organizations in the world, some of them. So when we think about visitors, you pass a plate and a visitor's like, oh, I guess I'm sort of expected to give. We don't want our visitors to feel like that they're expected to give. Really, this service is intended to be a gift to them. And we're trying to be a blessing to them. For the unsaved visitor, we want them to be focused on hearing the gospel, not focused on, why did I put that money in that offering? I felt like I had to. We just want them focused on the gospel. For the believer, the visitor that's believing, we want to encourage them by the word of God. There's also the aspect of anonymous giving. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 6. Now, I mean, certainly the style of the way we give is, to a certain degree, anonymous. We're not, no one knows what you're putting in that offering envelope. But still, just even, being there, passing the plate and giving, putting the money in, you're still seen of people. And certainly with a chest or a box, you'd still be people that might see you, but still, just more of an anonymous thing. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Pause there for a second. And you say to yourself, why is he saying they have the reward? Why don't they have a reward if they do that? And the Lord Jesus there is saying, their reward is right then and at that moment. As people go, oh wow, look how much he's giving. That's not much of a reward, is it? There's no spiritual, eternal weight to that reward. It was then and now. It's done. It's over. But we're supposed to lay up our treasures in heaven, Scripture says. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Then he goes on to speak about praying, that same concept. So I believe there's a stronger aspect of anonymous giving when you've got a when you've got something like a chest or a box that you put it into, at some point during the course of the day. I'm thinking particularly on the Sunday, right? Now, some possible fears that some might have. I don't know if anyone would have this fear, but I can see how it might be a fear. And that would be, well, with no offering bag passing, I might not remember. Or, you know, the church family in general might not remember, and the giving might go down. And I don't believe that. I don't believe that we would see a decrease in the finances. And like I said already, my home church has been doing it for 30-some years, and I understand, just talking to Brother Steve, that the Pastor Bond's group down there, they do the same sort of thing. And our goal is that the Lord moves our heart to give, both of our, to remind us about our tithe, that part that's his from the beginning, that 10%, but then also as the Lord lays upon us to give to missionaries, to give benevolently for some project or whatever the case might be. So I would understand if a person has that concern, but I don't believe that it would really be an issue, because the believer has the Holy Spirit living inside them. And he does a far better job reminding you and I to give our tithes and offerings than the visual cue. And so that's something to consider. I also think that something we could look at doing is just as a way to keep our finances, before the people, that do something that many churches also do, and that is put the offering total in their bulletin, so that the folks can see what came in that last week. And we're not a money church, if you say that. And, what I mean by that is we're not out for getting money. But it still is good for people to see what's coming in the missions, what's coming in the general fund. So that's something we can look at doing. Let's take a look at Matthew chapter 12. As we think about now more towards missions giving and special benevolence, we see principles that we are to give sacrificially. Mark chapter 12. We have Jesus here standing next to the treasury. Mark chapter 12, verses 41 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury, or opposite the treasury, like in view of it, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want, or her need, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. I would believe that this is not speaking of her tithe. She gave all of her living. She gave what would normally be her food money. That was sacrificial giving. And the Lord said, those people over there, they've got so much money and they're giving of their abundance. She put those two mites, the smallest denomination of Jewish money. And Jesus said, that's greater than all that the others brought. Because she gave of her living, she gave everything. So that's more than just tithe. She gave of that the regular, the food money, so to speak. And she did it sacrificially, knowing that God was going to provide for her needs. Let's take a look at 2 already read 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5. But let's take a look there again now and make some comments on that passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, the text that we read for the scripture reading. You notice there that Paul talks about the churches of Macedonia in verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Even though they were so poor, they were in poverty, they gave liberally. And I'm sure their liberality was much like that widow and her mites, that God looked at that and said, you're giving of your living. That's more than that millionaire over there gave, because it's about the sacrifice that was given for that offering. Verse 3, for to their power I bear record, and yea, beyond their power. They were willing of themselves, beyond their power. And when we give to the Lord, we should be looking to say, Lord, okay, I'm not trying to just keep this in my comfort zone. Well, okay, I have this pool of extra money. You know, routinely I see I've got this extra money. So I'll give a fraction of that. But rather, we need to be pressing ourselves and saying, okay, Lord, how can I be used to further your kingdom? And you know that when I'm talking here about, it's not to do with bringing in more money for the church, not to do with bringing more money in for my salary. We're talking about missions giving. Whatever it might be, benevolence for someone in need. It's unrelated to our, you know, operational needs of the church. In verse 5, he says, and this they did. Oh, verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we'd hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What does he mean by that? They didn't do as we hoped. I believe that he's saying they gave far more than we expected. And we felt bad taking this money. Remember, they were collecting money that was going to go to the churches of Judea, in Jerusalem, that were in a great trial of affliction. So Paul and Titus and others were emissaries to go and say, hey, can you help out these churches over there? And I like the fact that the Apostle Paul, he wasn't stationed in Jerusalem and then go to these countries and say, hey, you need to help us. You need to send us money. He was third party, so to speak. And he was able to say, you know what? There's a church in Jerusalem. There are churches in Judea that need your help. And remember, the gospel came through Christ in Judea, and you know that's where the gospel came from. Would you help those churches that are in such great need? And so you get this church. Speaking of the churches of Macedonia, this region, he's saying they prayed us with much entreaty. Well, why would they pray with much entreaty that the Apostle Paul and his group would take this money? I would think that the Apostle Paul was like, really? Don't you guys need this? You know, that he felt bad taking this from them. Take a look at Philippians chapter 4, please. A hidden nugget here I really find fascinating in this passage. Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to verse 19. You know, we're very familiar with verse 8 about the things that we're supposed to think on, a great verse. But then in verse 10, the Apostle Paul here, speaking to the church of Philippi, says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Now, he's talking here specifically about them fulfilling some of his needs. And we don't know the circumstances of what was happening here when he says, you were careful, but you lacked opportunity. So, when he says you were careful, that means simply that you had a desire. You had cares. You cared about me. And then it says, but you lacked opportunity. That part's the mystery. Is he saying that they didn't know where he was? They couldn't find him. They didn't have anywhere to sort of channel the money to help him. Is he saying, you did not have the money to help me? We don't know what he was saying here. But whatever the case, he's saying, I thank the Lord that you are being a blessing to me, helping me. He says, you were careful, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity in the past. Notice here in verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want or need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. This communicating, it's, you might think, oh, communicating, talking. No, it's he's talking about how they helped him of a financial or nature, or maybe they provided some of things that he needed, some clothes or food or whatever. But they were some sort of an imparting of a gift of value to him. Verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Notice there the illustration of a sacrifice. We know that the burnt offering was something, as we looked at on Sunday, was something that was a sweet-smelling savor to God. And in the same way, he was saying that those gifts that they gave him were an offering to God and a sweet-smelling savor in God's sight. And then verse 19, this is the one of those nuggets. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Again, we see people who gave out of their poverty. My God shall supply your need. They were saying, here, Paul, take this. And Paul is acknowledging they had needs themselves. He says, but my God shall supply your needs. So again, the idea of giving sacrificially, where it's not like, well, my wallet's that thick, I guess I can afford to give that much. But we give liberally as the Lord directs us and as the Lord convicts us. And you know, when you in the context of the husband and wife relationship, husbands and wives should be talking to each other and should be saying, what do you think? This need has arisen, and you know, maybe you know, talking over what you're going to do for missions giving. You decide on a figure as the Lord leads, but talk together, not just one making the decision. And of course, you know, iron sharpeneth iron. And it might be the husband that says to the wife, that says, you know, I believe we can do more. It might be the wife that says to the husband, I believe we can do more. And so we give as the Lord leads and provides. Just a short note on the difference, to make sure we understand the difference. There is that difference between tithes and offerings. You notice in Exodus, there was the free will offering where it was said, hey, you know, if you have a willing heart, then give. And that's, we liken that to things like missions giving, giving to benevolently. Maybe down the road we'll have a building fund. You know, sometimes churches will upgrade their piano and they'll have a piano fund. Or maybe we'll have an elevator fund. You know, and so then people give above and beyond. Tithing, that's God's money. That's his money. We don't designate that money. That's his already to start off with. That's that 10%. And then you get this the free will offering on top, like the missions giving. And so just to go again back to the idea of faith promise missions, again, this is, you know, voluntary. If a person says, yes, I could see value in using that system, then, you know, we do have those forms at the back there, just kind of behind where the bulletins normally are. And if a person says, you know, I'm really comfortable with the way that I give and still seek to have the Lord stretch my faith in the method in which I do it, then great. Then a person can go ahead and use that form. Okay, well, we'll leave you with those thoughts regarding faith promise giving, regarding the idea of having a little box that we would put our tithes and offerings into, instead of passing the bag. And I would still like to keep doing special music. We could still use that slot of time for special music and reflection. And something to note about that is, whatever the case, whatever we do, whether we keep passing the bag or whether we go with the box, when we have special music like that, I'd really encourage you to use that as a time of reflection, not a time to chat and talk, but just to listen to the music. And, you know, those that are partaking of, that are doing the special music, they put time and practice into that work, and so we also want to show them respect, but also to really spend some time meditating on the song itself. And you know, you might pull out your songbook and find the song and look at the words at the same time. Okay, let's close with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We thank you for these passages of Scripture, Lord. We pray that you'd help us to give cheerfully, sacrificially, as the need arises and as you lay upon our hearts. Help, Lord, I guess the greatest request is that we would be led of the Holy Spirit. We would be open to his leading so that we would give as he directs. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we go to prayer and later on to our quarterly meeting. We pray that you would just lead, guide, and direct. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.